Tonight, breaking news in New York City, the deadly accident on the Hudson, the boat sinking, a child among the dead. Also, the chilling images just made public tonight from inside the Uvalde school, what those images reveal, and the explosive claim late today at the January 6th hearing, the bombshell allegation in front of the American people against former President Trump. Congresswoman Liz Cheney suggesting the former president allegedly reached out to a witness that the American people have not heard from yet. She said the committee reporting it to the Department of Justice. And tonight here, for the first time, the American people hearing testimony from former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone, describing an unhinged meeting inside the White House. The extreme ideas proposed for Trump to hold on to power, a plan for the U.S. military to seize voting machines. Also, the committee today accusing Trump of summoning the mob with his own words to Washington. And writer Stephen Ayers testifying that he was answering Donald Trump's call. And the emotional moment in that hearing room today involving the rioter and the Capitol officers. Rachel Scott and Pierre Thomas standing by. Also tonight, those images coming in now, that deadly boating accident on the Hudson, a boat capsizing. At least two people dead, including the child, several victims pulled from the water. Ariel Resha from the scene tonight. Also late today, as parents demand answers in Texas, that newly obtained surveillance showing the gunman in Uvalde, armed with a rifle in the halls of Robb Elementary, a boy rounding the corner seconds after he passes by. Officers begin filling the hallway 3 minutes later, several coming under fire, and how long it takes before they go after the gunman. Maria Villarreal in Texas. The warning tonight about this new COVID variant now sweeping the country, what authorities want you to know. And the remarkable images tonight of the universe, the James Webb Space Telescope giving us a new view tonight, and we'll take you right through them.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. We're on the scene of that deadly accident on the Hudson River here in New York City. A child among the dead tonight, a boat capsizing. The rescue effort underway. And the images also just released today inside that Uvalde school as parents there demand answers. What the images now reveal of the gunman, the police, and it's chilling. But we do begin tonight with the explosive testimony and the claims laid today from the January 6th committee. Tonight, for the first time, we hear from White House counsel Pat Cipollone from the Trump administration on an unhinged meeting, as he described it, inside the White House. The extreme efforts considered to keep former President Trump in office. The committee trying to make the case today that Trump's words summoned the mob to Washington and then sent them to the Capitol. And at the end, Vice Chair Congresswoman Liz Cheney saying the former president tried to reach out to a witness that the American people have not heard from yet. She said they've reported it to the Department of Justice. Today's testimony detailing the president's words, the efforts to draw those crowds to Washington, and the president's tweet immediately after that meeting described as unhinged, calling supporters to Washington on January 6th, saying, be there, it will be wild. For the first time, that testimony from former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, among the ideas he said that were being discussed in that meeting, the military seizing voting machines across this country. Testifying today, a former spokesperson for the Oath Keepers, Jason Van Tatenhove, who said that day could have been a spark for a civil war, and his warning about the next election. Also, Steve Ayers, the Ohio man who was there at the Capitol that day, he said following Trump's words, he's been charged. He said he believed the president's claim of a stolen election, and he also believed that it would be overturned that day. But in looking back, he now urges Americans to take the blinders off. And that emotional moment right after the hearing today, Rachel Scott leading us off from the Capitol again tonight.
Today, the January 6th committee methodically laying out how President Trump summoned an armed mob to Washington, D.C., ignoring his top White House advisors who told him he had lost the election.
We're coming for you!
One of the loudest voices, his White House counsel, Pat Cipollone.
There's no evidence of election fraud sufficient to undermine the outcome in particular state.
Yes, I agree with that.
Trump's attorney general agreed. His daughter Ivanka, top cabinet secretaries. The president ignored them all.
President Trump is a 76-year-old man. He is not an impressionable child. And Donald Trump cannot escape responsibility by being willfully blind.
Instead, Trump turned to outside advisors like lawyer Sidney Powell, who embraced conspiracy theories and suggested seizing voting machines, all without providing any proof of election fraud.
At some point, you have to put up or shut up. That was my view.
Why was this, on a broader scale, a bad idea for the country?
To have the federal government seize voting machines, it's a terrible idea for the country. That's not how we do things in the United States.
The clash between Trump's outside advisors and his White House team coming to a head on December 18th at an explosive meeting in the White House.
I opened the door and I walked in. I saw General Flynn. I saw Sidney Powell sitting there. I was not happy to see the people in the Oval Office.
And at one point, General Flynn took out a diagram that supposedly showed IP addresses all over the world and who was communicating with whom via the machines, and some comment about like Nest thermostats being hooked up to the internet.
The White House team arguing with lawyer Sidney Powell, who wanted to seize voting machines.
Cipollone and Hirschman and whoever the other guy was showed nothing but contempt and disdain of the president.
And we were asking one simple question as a general matter. Where is the evidence?
And she says, well, the judges are corrupt. And I was like, everyone? Every single case that you've done in the country you guys lost, every one of them is corrupt, even the ones we appointed?
Trump's advisors nearly coming to blows. The president taking it all in. And when the meeting broke up, well after midnight, he fired off this tweet, calling his supporters to Washington on January 6th, telling them, be there, we'll be wild. The committee says for the right-wing fringe, that one tweet was an instant call to action.
And now Donald Trump is calling on his supporters to descend on Washington, D.C., January 6th.
He is now calling on we, the people, to take action and to show our numbers.
If necessary, storming right into the Capitol.
January 6th, there's going to be a million plus geeked up armed Americans.
The time for action is now. Where were you when history called?
One user asked, is the 6th D-Day? Is that why Trump wants everyone there?
Today, the American people hearing one Trump supporter, Stephen Ayers of Ohio, who testified he answered the president's call.
Why'd you decide to march to the Capitol?
The president, got everybody riled up, told everybody head on down. So we basically were just following what he said.
As you started marching, did you think there was still a chance the election would be overturned?
Yeah, at that time I did, because everybody was kind of like in the hope that, Vice President Pence was not going to certify the election. Also the whole time on our way down there, he kept hearing about this big reveal. I remember us talking about, and we kind of thought maybe that was it. So that hope was there.
Ayers is one of those who stormed the Capitol. He just pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct.
Basically, I lost my job, pretty much sold my house. It changed my life, and not for the good, definitely not for the, for the better.
In the front row watching Ayers testify, another man whose life was changed that day, Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell.
Last month, on June 28th, Sergeant Gunnell's team of doctors told him that permanent injuries he has suffered to his left shoulder and right foot now make it impossible for him to continue as a police officer. He must leave policing for good and figure out the rest of his life.
As lawmakers spoke of his patriotism and sacrifice, Sergeant Gunnell quietly wiping away tears. Today's hearing concluding with this warning from Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings. That person declined to answer or respond to President Trump's call and instead alerted their lawyer to the call. Their lawyer alerted us, and this committee has supplied that information to the Department of Justice. Let me say one more time, we will take any effort to influence witness testimony very seriously.
We're going to get reaction to that from the Justice Department in just a moment, our new reporting. But in the meantime, let's get right to Rachel Scott tonight, live at the Capitol. Rachel, you and I were on the air together this afternoon as that remarkable moment played out late today after the hearing. Stephen Ayers, the Ohio man who described himself as a family man who worked for a cabinet maker, who then wound up storming the Capitol, he said, for Trump. He said, looking back, it's like he had blinders on. Well, today, look at this moment right here. He approached the officers, including Sergeant Connell, apologizing for what he had done.
Yes, David, and tonight Sergeant Connell tells me that he does accept that apology from Stephen Ayers, but he believes he does need to be held accountable for his actions, David.
And Rachel, I want to go back to another key moment today, lawmakers obtaining text messages from former President Trump's former campaign manager, Brad Parscale. Parscale texting a colleague after the scene unfolded on January 6th, saying, quote, a sitting president asking for a civil war, adding, I feel guilty for helping him win. He texted, a woman is dead. If I was Trump and knew my rhetoric killed someone. Remarkable text messages revealed by that committee.
Yes, David, and this is striking because this is someone who has worked closely with the former president since his very first campaign. In fact, he is still working for Donald Trump. And today, another revelation in this hearing, the committee obtaining a draft tweet from Trump just 2 days before the insurrection, actually calling on his supporters to march to the Capitol on January 6th. That tweet was never sent out, but lawmakers say it underscores that this was Trump's goal all along, David.
All right, Rachel, our thanks to you. And you heard Rachel report there that explosive allegation from Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who claimed former President Trump reached out to a witness who the country has not seen testify yet. That witness not taking the call, alerting their lawyer. Tonight, Cheney saying the committee has now reported this to the Department of Justice. So let's bring in our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, with late reporting. And the Justice Department is now reviewing this, Pierre.
David, that contact apparently happened right after the last hearing, and Vice Chair Cheney is firing a warning shot telling former President Trump to stop reaching out to witnesses. According to committee member Jamie Raskin, quote, this has been an ongoing pattern, and we're trying to send a message that witness tampering is a crime. But before DOJ would take any action, it would need to know a great deal more. For example, did President Trump know this person had been called to be a witness, and exactly what was the context of that call? DOJ is not commenting, but today Congress was clearly trying to turn up the heat on former President Trump, David.
All right, Pierre Thomas, Rachel Scott, our thanks to you both tonight. We move on to the other news, and late today, an awful scene unfolding on the Hudson River right here in New York City. A boat on the Hudson capsizing, a child among the dead tonight. The rescue effort to get to several others. Victims pulled from the water. ABC's Ariel Reshef on the scene tonight.
Tonight, tragedy on New York City's Hudson River. Two people dead after this small jet boat capsized. The victims, a 7-year-old boy and a 50-year-old woman. Authorities and New York Waterway ferries frantically attempt to pull 12 people from the water. First responders rendering first aid.
We saw a couple people on the water, and they just kept popping out. It was a capsized boat.
Eyewitnesses on the ferries describing the distraught passengers.
Everyone was on the boat, and they were screaming. So the ferry stopped, and they threw out life vests, and then we pulled them up one by one.
The boat chartered by family and friends. Tonight, 8 people in stable condition, the driver and one other in critical condition. This river, the same that Captain Sully Sullenberger landed on in 2009. During tonight's briefing, New York City's Mayor Eric Adams remembering the miracle on the Hudson and thanking those who aided in this rescue.
It's unfortunate that miracle has been shattered with the loss of 2 lives. But between New York Waterway, Harbor, FDNY, and those who participated, we clearly saved lives.
And David, tonight the investigation is just beginning. Authorities looking into the condition of the water and the capacity of that jet boat to see if there may have been too many people on board. David.
All right, Ariel Reshef here in New York. Ariel, thank you. Now to Texas, where parents have been demanding answers in Uvalde, and tonight newly released surveillance from inside Robb Elementary, and it's chilling. Some of the families of the victims have been demanding to see this video. It was obtained by our Austin affiliate KVIEW and the Austin American Statesman newspaper, who are sharing it to provide transparency to those families and to the community. ABC's Maria Villarreal with the disturbing new images tonight that show the gunmen in the school hallways, the police, and how long it took to get to those children.
Tonight, chilling video obtained by ABC affiliate KVIEW capturing the rampage at Robb Elementary. Surveillance footage capturing the moment the gunman crashed his truck near the school, opening fire on two witnesses who had raced to the scene to help. Moments later, a teacher frantically calling 911.
I can't see him, I cannot see him. The kids are running.
Tonight,
Robb
Elementary
teacher calling 911.
Outside the school, you can hear the shooter firing at the building. At 11:33, a witness capturing the gunman entering the school with a rifle. Inside, he calmly makes his way down the hall. A little boy rounding the corner as the gunman opens fire, narrowly escaping as more than 100 rounds are fired. 3 minutes later, police arriving. Two officers doubling back as they come under fire. 19 minutes after the gunman first opened fire inside, more heavily armed officers arrive, some with shields. 36 minutes in, officers are still seen standing in the hallway, guns drawn, but still have not confronted the suspect. 48 minutes go by. He fires another four rounds, but still no rescue attempts. At 57 minutes later, more waiting. It's not until 12:50, 77 minutes after the shooter entered the school, 74 minutes after the first police arrive, that a team would finally breach the classroom and kill the gunman.
This afternoon, I reached out to several families. One mother says that she does not plan to watch this video because it will not bring her daughter back. Another family says they were able to watch about 20 seconds but couldn't stomach much more after seeing the gunman inside that hallway. And I just got off the phone with the mayor a few minutes ago, David. He tells me right now this is a disrespectful way to release this video, that these families have been blindsided, and he plans to ask for a full investigation of how it was leaked. David?
Yeah, it's impossible to imagine what it's like for these families to see this, Maria, but you can understand how they're demanding answers, and we'll stay on this as you have been. Thank you, Maria. In the meantime, to the pandemic tonight and a growing number of COVID cases, 65% of new cases, in fact, now linked to that newest subvariant, BA5. Tonight, authorities say it's more transmissible and also better at evading immunity. Hospital admissions have doubled since early May. Tonight, the White House urging Americans to stay up to date on their COVID shots and boosters, and in high-risk areas to mask up indoors again, and in medium-risk areas to mask up based on your individual risk. We turn now to the war in Ukraine tonight, the U.S. announcing a major new infusion of cash to Ukraine, $1.7 billion, and it comes amid these warnings that Iran is about to offer significant help to Russia in fighting the Ukrainians. Our foreign correspondent James Longman reporting in from Ukraine tonight.
A huge new tranche of aid is being provided by the U.S., David, $1.7 billion to help maintain Ukraine's essential services like healthcare. And just as President Biden prepares for his trip to the Middle East, Vladimir Putin is heading to Tehran next week for talks with both the Iranian and Turkish leaders. Now, the talks will be focused on Syria, but Ukraine will be front and center, especially now that the United States has said that Tehran is planning on sending hundreds of combat drones to Moscow for help in its war here in Ukraine. As foreign help for both sides builds, it's clear just how global the consequences of this war have become. David?
All right, James Longman reporting in from Kyiv. James, thank you. When we come back tonight, news coming in this evening about the ISIS leader killed in a U.S. drone strike. And then later here, stay tuned, the new images tonight of the universe, and they're extraordinary.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, the U.S. is now confirming the death of a top ISIS leader in northwest Syria. The Pentagon saying the leader was killed, another senior ISIS official wounded, all in a drone strike, part of a series of operations targeting terrorist leaders in that part of Syria. To the index in travel chaos at Heathrow Airport in London, Heathrow now telling airlines to stop selling any tickets through Heathrow until mid-September and setting a limit of 100,000 passengers per day. The airport struggling with major delays, lines, and a massive backup tonight of lost baggage. Finally tonight, here, the universe as it's never been seen before. Here's Gio Benitez.
Tonight, the new James Webb telescope reaching deeper into the universe than ever before.
Oh my gosh, it really does work. Personally, I went and had an ugly cry.
This one showing a wide angle of just a tiny fraction of the universe, thousands of galaxies in view, the red ones going back to the dawn of time, more than 13 billion years ago. And this image, the death of a star, collapsing, then exploding, creating that gorgeous ring of colors. This image capturing five galaxies together, those sweeping tails of gas seen in crystal clear detail. And here, the so-called cosmic cliffs, the Carina Nebula, where stars are born.
And David, the Webb telescope has already made a discovery, finding water vapor in the atmosphere of a planet that's orbiting a distant star. Just incredible, David.
Really is, Gio. Thank you. Just spectacular, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.